Blessed are the peacemakers, not blessed are the peacekeepers, the appeasers, the people who will sell out justice for a little temporary quiet and security. Not blessed are the peace imposers, the control freaks, those who create a peace of their own making by shouting out or just flat crushing anyone who disagrees with them. Nor yet blessed are the diplomats, the manipulators, those who practice what has once been called the fine art of letting someone else have your way. These produce no true peace, but only illusion. And speaking of illusion, if you heard that phrase, blessed are the peacemakers, and your mind went off to nations and governments and global politics, just bring it on back, because that's not at all what Jesus had in view here. This is not something that we get to skate out of by saying, well, that's for people above our pay grade. Now, as we've been working our way through the Beatitudes, what we've seen is that these are first not commands, but their characteristics. What kind of people does Jesus say are blessed? And second, that they build on each other. So as we ask what kind of people are peacemakers, we look further up in the list. They are those who are poor in spirit, who recognize their need for Jesus, who recognize that they are not, as none of us truly are, sufficient in and of themselves, and have come to find the meaning and the value of life in following him. As a consequence, they are people who hunger and thirst for righteousness, which is to say, they want their relationship with God to be right, to be the way it ought to be. And as part of that, they want their relationships with those around them, family, friends, coworkers, to be right. You know, for the issues to be dealt with, for the problems to be addressed, for there not to be things festering in the middle. And thus, these are people who are meek, who are not ones to always insist on their own way, to demand what they consider to be their rights, but instead, people who are gentle, who are merciful towards those who wrong them, recognizing their own dependence on the mercy of God. So peacemakers are people who first make peace within themselves and do nothing to cause unnecessary conflict with others or among others. Now, you probably can think of people who are the exact opposite of this. You know, the sort of people who stir up trouble just because they like trouble. They like watching other people go at it. Peacemakers are the ones who are working to undo that and begin by making sure, by guarding their own tongues, not to create those situations. They keep back the words that will only cause trouble and division, strife and mistrust. You know, and in part, that means, you know, no gossip, you know, none of the, did you hear this about such and such? But there's a deeper thing than that, too. This means the discipline of not talking about people instead of talking to them. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. Let me back up just a little and actually draw on the passage from 2 Corinthians that we used for the assurance of pardon. Because the ministry of peacemaking is the ministry of reconciliation. You know, it is the ministry of working in people's lives, including very often our own, where there's broken relationship, where there's alienation between people, where people are estranged or at war, and working to bring that together, to reconcile those who are at odds and bring them back to a state of being really not simply not fighting with each other, but actually good with each other. And as I say, I mean, we all know this. You know, this involves our own lives, and it has to begin with our own lives, not least because we have no credibility to try to bring peace outside of ourselves if we ourselves are not at peace with those around us. And so if anyone has a fair complaint or a grievance against us, we need to do whatever we can to make amends. And the flip side to that, and the harder thing, I think, is that if we have a complaint or a grievance against someone else, we need to take it to them. And too often we do everything but. Yeah, we're angry at somebody, we've got a problem with somebody, you know, somebody's done something that we really don't like. And instead of talking to that person, you know, instead of going to them and saying, I'm angry at you, I'm really unhappy with what you did, this was not right, we need to address this, we avoid them and circle around them and very often kind of put on a mask and pretend everything's fine, and we go to everybody else and we talk about them, about how unhappy they are and how bad a thing it was that they did. Yeah, we take our emotions, we take our issues, we take our concerns, and we don't deal with them, we just displace them. Which doesn't mean that we really have addressed them, we haven't resolved anything, they continue to fester in us. The only thing that does is it spreads them out to fester in other people's hearts as well. You know, it does nothing but create strife and dissension, discontent and disunity. It is the essence of troublemaking. And when we do that, we are unrighteous, we are unright, we are unmerciful, we are arrogant instead of meek. If we would make peace, we must begin by reining in our tongues. And not just saying what it comes to our minds to say when we are angry, unhappy. Not trying to tear people down, not trying to get back at people, but bringing control to that. Cutting out those words of complaint. And then once we have gotten ourselves under control, dealing directly and honestly with the person who we believe has done us wrong. And I say this completely aware, I've been a pastor for 10 years, I'm not naive about these things, that we very often use words like direct and honest as euphemisms for rude, demanding, selfish, and insulting. Is this not so? You know, and obviously that is not what we're talking about here. If we would make peace, we must confront people, but we must do it graciously and humbly. And out of the desire to serve them, not to hurt them, not to extract our pound of flesh. Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, and love your enemies, and do good to those who hurt you. Paul tells us, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Of course, Paul, being the practical psychologist that he was, goes on to say, for in so doing, you'll heap burning coals on their heads. Rather along the lines of Oscar Wilde, who once observed, always forgive your enemies, nothing annoys them so much. But it's not even something that we do simply to annoy people, but out of a deeper understanding. You know, if we understand how great is the grace that God has given us, if we understand how blessed we are in Jesus, then we can look at our enemies and see them not as threats to us, not as people who can do us, you know, real harm that, you know, we could never undo, not as people who can really mess up our lives, you know, not as people who need to be punished and we're the ones to do it, but look at them and realize they, you know, in acting in this way and in being angry and in being bitter, you know, and in going around hurting other people, they are less blessed than we are, at least in that moment. You know, they have, you know, a need there that is not being met, that they're trying to fill in exactly the wrong way. You know, they have, you know, some really bad stuff running loose in their souls that they're not dealing with. And they need grace. They need our compassion. And it's an opportunity for us to show that and to point them in a better direction. And so rather than simply escalating the war and increasing the size of the weapons and only resulting in more people getting hurt worse, in giving them an example of a better way to live and a better way to relate to people. An example that can ultimately bring them back towards repenting of what they've done and asking forgiveness. Now, I noted a couple weeks ago that just because you show someone mercy doesn't mean they're going to accept it, and all too often they don't. The fact that you try to make peace with someone doesn't guarantee that they will be willing to make peace with you. Which is why Paul also says in Romans 12, if possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with everybody. You can only do what you can do. My mama used to say there's only two kinds of problems in this world. There's yours and theirs. Usually followed up with her saying, and that's theirs. And that's very much the case. If someone refuses to listen when you seek to make peace with them, if they refuse to hear you when you say there's a problem here and we need to address this, if they refuse to consider that they might be in the wrong, or if you go to someone else to confess and they refuse to listen and they refuse to forgive, you can't control that. You are not responsible for what other people do about what you do. Two kinds of problems in this world. You've done what's yours to do. The rest is their problem. And you can leave it in their lap and walk away. Now, in closing, let me say one thing briefly about the promise statement for this beatitude. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Now, to clarify for one thing, they will be called. It's kind of an odd thing, but you know, you remember devout Jews do not speak the name of God for fear of, you know, taking it in vain. And so by this point, by the first century, they'd evolved what we call a divine passive. You know, you didn't say God did something, you just said something will happen. You know, so they will be called means God's going to be one doing the calling. You know, that those who are making peace, God is going to come down and declare them to be his children. Except, take note, the word that's used here is not the word children. There's a couple different words for that. None of them are here. It is specifically the word sons, which might seem kind of strange. Jesus is talking to men and women both. What's going on here? Well, the point is not about gender. The point instead is about authority. Again, remember, yeah, remember the culture, ancient culture. Yeah, it was, you know, very much, you know, men had the authority in the family, and by and large, you know, were the ones who inherited the property, you know, ran the family, ran pretty much everything. Leastways in theory, I'm sure that, you know, their wives told them what to do as much as anywhere, but that was in theory how it worked. The children of God, to call people children of God is to say a lot. They are those whom God loves. You know, those to whom he has given his life. But sons in that society were something more. They were those who shared in the authority of the Father as his representatives. He doesn't just say children of God, he says sons of God, and this is something that applies, you know, to men and women both. This is not, again, this is not a gender thing. This is an authority thing. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the ambassadors of God. They are God's representatives in the world, filled with his Holy Spirit, carrying out his mission, his ministry of reconciling the world, of restoring what has been broken, of healing relationships, of making things right that are wrong. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the workers of God, the representatives of God, the ambassadors of God. They are God's right arm in the world, and they are doing his work. Let's pray.